Get ready to rack to school at your Nordstrom Rack store, because the deals are amazing. Levi's, Adidas, Volcom, and Hurley from only $20. Save on everyone's favorite denim, sneakers, boots, backpacks, and more at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry, get first dibs on new arrivals from just $20 and make it the best school year ever. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
And so I do kind of take that slow growth approach, because slow growth is fast growth at the end of the day. If you do it right, over time, it's going to compound.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Senziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, I am doing good today. Everybody, we're in for a treat. Just got to tell you that. We are in for the personal development treat of the year. Woo. So buckle up, everybody.
Little PMA going on right here. So, hey, today's guest is Kyle Wilson, founder of Jim Rohn International, Your Success Store, Lessons from Network.com, and KyleWilson.com. Kyle is the author of 52 Lessons I Learned from Jim Rohn and Other Great Legends I Promoted. He is also the host of a highly successful podcast, Success Habits of the Super Achievers. Today, Kyle will be sharing his ideas on how to grow your business and your brand. So without further ado, Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Honored to be here.
Hey, it's our pleasure, and we're honored to have you. You know, just take us back as early as you can to getting started in business, because I know before the show you were starting to share some stories, and we're pumping the brakes a little bit because we don't want to, you know, let it out of the bag too early. So please just share your story getting started out in business.
Yeah, you know, similar to Jim Rohn, my mentor, I started out very modestly, very humble beginnings, grew up in a small town, never went to college. Unlike Jim, I got into a lot of trouble. You know, I was doing drugs and again, just not the guy you would think that would go on to be. That I've been asked this question. It's like, Kyle, wow, you must have just been amazing, like class president to you know, been the founder of Jim Rohn International and partners with Jim 18 years. I'm like, no, it's actually the opposite. And but at age 19, I had a significant emotional experience. I changed my life. Again, small town, I became an entrepreneur by starting a detail shop and then a service station, you know, very blue collar. And at some point in time, I said, listen, I'm going to leave Vernon, Texas. I loved being there, but there's something pulling me. I moved to Dallas, did not have a plan, just started a small entrepreneurial ventures. And I ended up going to a seminar. And the guy hosting the seminar was looking for sales reps. And the thought of having to telemarket and then go sell and then go give talks in front of audiences made no sense. I was terrified of that thought, but I felt I had to do it for whatever reason. Plus, I was desperate. And when you're desperate, you know, and you need to make money. And I was old enough now to know, okay, maybe this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it would be to go out and just make money and be successful. So I got the job working for Jerry Haynes, and we started promoting. I was promoting seminars with him, and little did I know that would lead to meeting Jim Rohn and eventually going out on my own and traveling around the country, putting on big events. And so I would go into a new city, get a couple of thousand people. And we're talking 1991, 92, 93. And I would hire Jim Rohn and hire Brian Tracy and Og Mandino and just different, the top speakers in the country. And I did that for a couple of years, did really, really well. And in late 1993, Jim had split up with his partner, and his partner owed him about $500,000. And that wasn't new. When he would tell the stories of back in the Adventures of Achievement days, when Tony Robbins and those guys worked with him, he talked about, even though the business was explosive and they had people from all over the country coming to their events, they weren't making money. Mm-hmm. It was a bad business model. And at the time, I think Jim and his partner had a bad business model. And I said, hey, Jim, I'm a pretty good promoter. I think you're the best speaker in the world. I would love the opportunity to have exclusive rights. I know you're not looking for a partner because that hadn't worked out too well. So guess what? I'll just pay for everything and I'll pay you off the top. So like a speaker's bureau, I just need exclusivity though, so I can run with this. And that first year, I took him from 20 speaking engagements at 4,000 an engagement to 110 dates at 10,000, and then eventually 25,000. And then we started creating products. And one of them, and it's really based on this thing I call the wheel, was this little Jim Rohn quote book. And it was all about his secret sauce and getting our advocates to go share the message, and had a to and a from. It was actually a God download. It just came to me one day, and you know, I could walk you through the story of how it came to me. But this went on to move 6 million, and I did one for Brian Tracy and Dennis Waitley and Zig Ziglar, and here's one, Mark Victor Hansen. I know, Gino, you told me you're a big Zig fan, so Tom still gives these out, did this for Tom. And, you know, the race was on. And I found out after a couple of years that people would buy everything Jim had now that they could get their hands on it. And Jim's a principle-based speaker, so he's not going to come out with a lot of different content, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to pace himself. So I said, wow, I sold him everything we have. Now what? So I started Your Success Store, and then I started going back to my Jim Rohn fans and introducing them to Brian Tracy and Les Brown and Mark Victor Hansen and Dennis Waitley. And that became another business. And eventually internet came, built a million plus list. I was probably the first guy to do that. And then in late 2007, I decided to sell the companies, some personal reasons. And it just was just one of those things I felt led to do. And so I
probably sold a good year to get out, right?
What's that?
Probably a good year to get out right before the crash.
No, it definitely was. And I didn't have any foresight into that. It was just a personal decision. And took about 8 years off, became a Mr. Mom. And I'm back now just, you know, helping spread Jim Rohn's message and try to make a difference. But yeah, it was an incredible 18 years with Jim and some other amazing people that I've gotten to work with.
So Kyle, a couple things. First thing is everybody should listen to this. Jim was one of the best in the world at what he did.
Yes.
Being the best in the world doesn't translate into making money. You have to have both skill sets. Being great at speaking doesn't mean you're going to be a great business person. And I learned that because I had one restaurant. I was a great chef, but I wasn't making a lot of money doing it. So I can completely, you know, correlate with that. But you said something really great in the beginning. You were desperate, right? That's a great quality to have. What other qualities did you have that Jim saw in you or that you had to actually create and grow these businesses?
Yeah, I think definitely I was desperate. I was hungry. I was a hard worker. No doubt I worked hard. And maybe I was a little bit naive, and that played well for me too. To go in and give presentations to companies to sell tickets, I guess I was, you know, I kind of shudder at probably some of the things I said back then. You know, Jim Rohn said, you know, nothing's worse than being ignorant, but when you're arrogant and ignorant, it's really bad. And I probably had a little bit of that. I was a little bit naive and ignorant and probably arrogant about it. But somehow, you know, I felt I was in a bubble. And have you guys ever felt that where you just know you're onto something and you just got to see it through? And that happened to me. I found something and I stuck with it and I felt called to do it. And I do believe, you know, when we're faithful and we do the right things for the right reasons over a long period of time, you're going to get results. And
took the long view.
Took the long view. And there were some initial Jim Rohn lessons that literally changed my life that I think had a lot to do with how this all played out.
Let's go back and let's think about the first time you heard Jim Rohn speak. What did you say to yourself? And was that the time you're like, I need to work with this guy?
Yeah, it was unbelievable hearing his philosophy. It was like it just opened up this whole new insight. And I got excited because I already was working with him on a small level in the beginning. I got to start working with him before I went out on my own. And then I would have to hire him. But, you know, there's multiple lessons, but I'd love to share three or four real quick.
Please, great.
Some of the things that changed my life. Well, and some of it's sounds very cliche, but it was very real to me. The first one was Jim Rohn said, the major key to your better future is you. It's not the government. I mean, here we're in this time, there's an election next week, right? Where we all think whoever's president or whatever the economy is or whatever's going on is the biggest factor in our life. And candidly, it's not. That's not going to impact our health. That's not going to impact our knowledge. that's not going to impact our attitude. And if we decide to, you know, be positive or negative. And, you know, Jim Rohn said, it's really not about any of that. The biggest influences in our life, we get to control, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Everything else happens to everyone. And no matter what, you're going to have a subset of people that choose to do, you know, if depending, doesn't matter who's president, if people decide they'd rather, you know, watch the comedy channel instead of listen to podcasts, and they'd rather eat McDonald's instead of take care of themselves, and they'd, you know, rather spend money instead of invest money and save money, nothing's going to really change for them. And so that was the first big thing. The second thing is Jim Rohn just taught me success is predictable. He would compare it to a garden. When you sow a seed and you water it, you sow the right seed at the right time, at the right place, and you water it, take good care of it, and eventually harvest, you know, the odds are in your favor. It's going to work out good. Now, it doesn't always, right? Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes there's a tornado or, you know, a hailstorm that's going to knock out your crop. But if you do the right things in the right order, it's pretty predictable success is going to happen. And I really felt I had something I could invest in and know if I did all the right things over a long period of time, I'd be successful. I think we're all tempted at times to go for the get rich quick or the Hail Mary. And after hearing Jim, it's like, oh, I can get there anyway. You know, it's going to take X amount of time, but if I do all the right things, I'm going to have success. That was huge, because once you know that, it's just about faith. Do I really believe it? Do I have the right vehicle, the right mentors, the right plan? And then odds are in your favor. And then I think the third one is one of the biggest. And he just said, hey, if you want to be successful, learn to bring value to the marketplace. If you want to be wealthy, you learn to be valuable to valuable people. And it all began with value. How can you bring value? You guys have a very successful podcast. It's a platform to bring value to the marketplace. Once you can figure out how to bring value to the marketplace, then you can start attracting other great people because you've created a platform. It's pretty clever, right? A lot of people think it's about networking. To me, it's never been about networking. I'm actually a horrible networker, but I'm pretty good at bringing value. If I can bring value, you know, I'm going to attract the right people. And so I learned really fast, how do I bring value? And that solved the equation. I would fill up a huge audience and I'd bring them world-class people. I charged a fair price. I'm connecting, you know, what speaker doesn't want to be in front of a captive audience? What audience doesn't want to have life-changing information at a fair price? And so just solving that value proposition. So that was life-changing as well.
So I love that. I've got Jim's CDs in my son's car, and the story with, you know, Mr. Schoaf being his mentor. And when he's 25 years old, he's flat broke. He's living in the most amazing country in the world. And by the time he's 30, he changed everything around. And it ultimately comes down to responsibility. That's what Jim talked about. And people can't grasp that. If you're not responsible about your life, you can't take charge of what your life, you have no hope. You can't make decisions. And if you're blaming everybody else, you're blaming other people, other situations. I'll give you an example, you know, Jake and Kyle. Right now, through this pandemic, we can't do live events. Well, right. We're pivoting to a virtual model. There's a lot of people doing it. Do we like to do that? No. But we could sit there and complain that everything's shut down. But this is just what you have to do as an entrepreneur, as someone who wants to be successful. Instead of blaming the shutdown and blaming the virus, look at ways to create value and look at ways to pivot. That's really important. One thing I want to ask you, though, you said do all the right things. Can you mention some of all the right things, what that means to you? Some of those right things that you've done in business?
Yeah. First of all, you got to find the right vehicle. And once you find the right vehicle, then you got to think who's the audience, and then you got to figure out the best way. I love the equation of farming. I also like the equation of fishing. I don't like the equation of hunting. You know, mm-hmm. Hunting, there's people that get up every day and they go hunt, 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 hunt. And oftentimes that involves churning through people, and that's a commodity. I like fishing, which means, and it's how I built the whole model, by the way, the wheel in 1993. I now have exclusive rights to Jim Rohn. I drew a circle on a sheet of paper, and I put a little circle in the middle of the circle, and that was the hub of the wheel. And each spoke was a product or service Jim had. And I said, okay, He had a book, he had an audio series, he had a seminar, a 1 day and a 2 day. And I said, okay, got to get people on the wheel and take them around. Now, let me think about this. What new spoke do I need? Well, even more importantly, how am I get people on this wheel? So my first equation is, how do I get people on the wheel? And that's got a whole philosophical thing. Who's your avatar? What are you good at? How do you attract the right people? All that good stuff. But then number two, the spokes on the wheel. Again, I'm not a funnel person. I got funnels. I have membership sites, but funnels have an agenda. It's like, I'm going to get you from here to here. The wheel says, no, I got a lot of different things and I'm going to find the thing. We're going to connect and we're going to build a relationship. And if you like me and trust me over a period of time, I might actually have something you want. And so occasionally you build an audience, you talk to, and occasionally you give them something to say yes to, right? Mm-hmm. And through them saying yes to something small, that can lead to something big. To me, that's fishing. So fishing is, how do I get a captive audience? You know, how do I go focus at the right place with the right bait? And I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to bait people, but, you know, put the right stuff out to attract who I want. And then I love it if the fish can jump in the boat. So sometimes you have to have irresistible offers, and not a bait and switch, but irresistible offers to get people to say yes. And then from there, you build a relationship. And rarely do people in my world just spend money immediately, because I don't ask them to. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking them to build a relationship, watch, trust. And occasionally I give them something to say yes to. And those that are ready do, and those that don't, aren't, don't. And that's okay. I'm not even attached to who says yes. And so to me, it's, you know, there's a lot of scenarios there. You got to know who your audience is. You have to know what they want. You have to be able to provide it in a great way. Again, I don't want to chase people. So you have to create scenarios where, you know, you have a little bit of exclusivity. And again, I like to just bring as much value as possible. And then that way it becomes a no-brainer, because I don't want to have to talk people into it. Mm-hmm. That's just my style, right? And that was Jim Rohn's style as well. Jim just brought tons of value, and those that are interested say yes. And then he didn't get caught up in who said no.
I think the interesting thing there too, is that the people that are maybe they're just not saying yes yet, but you're probably creating raving fans, because you just added value to the world, right? Those people got a tremendous amount of value. And I know Gino's itching to talk about the power wheel a little bit over there, because he's talking about the wheel. We got a little wheel too. Gino, you want to share that?
So Kyle, it's incredible that you're saying that, because Jake actually came up with the idea. Well, we came up with the spoke idea, but we call it multifaceted multifamily, where if you're thinking of a wheel, and there's different spokes coming off, different complementary streams of revenue. So if you think of the investment, which is, let's say, a 50 unit apartment complex, we've built businesses around it, which are complementary. We're not going to a car wash. We're going to, hey, we create an education company. Right. We've created a property management company. We've created a syndication company to raise capital and to do deals. We've created a capital arm that is actually doing mortgages for our students. And oh, by the way, this education has media. We're actually starting a publishing arm. We're doing a podcast. We have mentorship. So all those spokes, and they're all complementary, and they work so beautifully together, because if you want to educate with us, great. If not, you can invest with us, you can learn with us, and we have our vendors that are helping us out. So it works really well together. But I want everyone listening, don't be overwhelmed. This wasn't built in a day. It doesn't have to take 20 years. It's taken us a couple of years to actually get it off the ground, but we had the vision, and we've like Kyle says, we've taken responsibility. We've stayed in our lane, and I'm the farmer. Both my parents are immigrants. I'm an Italian. I love food. I love cooking. It's part of my life. Very simple analogy, putting a seed in the ground, watering that seed. It's the long game. It's not going to happen overnight, but if it takes you 3 years to become financially free, it goes like that, but just planning the stages and adding value.
Especially multifamily real estate. Multifamily is a long game, and that is such a great analogy. When you talk about the vehicle, we believe we're in the right vehicle. We believe multifamily, it's a basic human need. People need it. We take the long view, and we think we've chosen the right vehicle. So this resonates so much with everything that we do. It's fantastic.
And I love how Gino described it. And to me, it's wherever they would find Jim. So maybe they find Jim through a book. The main thing is, I got to get them on my list. That's one of the mistakes people make, is they have social media as a platform. They have podcasts as a platform. But if they don't get them on an email list, they don't really have the ability to talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. So someone, I did Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneur Soul with Mark and Jack back in 96. I said, Mark, and I was promoting Mark. He was speaking at all my events. I'm like, Mark, you guys are selling millions of books, but you don't own the list. Your publisher doesn't own the list either, because there is no list, because they're buying them at bookstores. I put an insert in the book where people can get something really cool and free, because until you own the list, you can't talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the will. The will is you have the ability to now communicate with your list. And it doesn't matter what they say yes to. If they found Jim through a book, the goal is maybe they'll attend a seminar. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll attend a two-day seminar. So the quote book was, why this really worked was, and here's the four things to a spoke on a wheel. For me, it's number one, it does have to be part of your core business. And that's what I love, Gino, yes. about you saying. You're not out trying to do things that are outside your core business. So it's got to be part of your core business. Number two, it's got to be strategic. What's going to knock down all the other dominoes? So everything I do, I have to say, well, that one thing knocked down the rest of the dominoes. And then number three, it's got to include your secret sauce. And I thought, what makes Jim special? Well, he was a wordsmith. He could say it like no one else. So I thought, how can I capture? He didn't have a list of quotes, right? 1993, there's no Jim Rohn quotes. You see them everywhere now. Actually, I did a hardback.
Just go on Instagram right now. You'll see 20 of them, right?
You'll see 1,000, right? So this has 365. I did this in 93, but I did this so I could do this. And this has the to and the from. And I thought, and it's got a spectacular Jim Rohn quote book and a quote, and then you handwrite a note, and it's got the order form in the back. And I don't own this company anymore. I sold it, so I'm not trying to promote it. It's the principle. And then I talked how you could buy multiple booklets. Well, here's the thing. No one's going to throw it away, right? So when you give it to someone, they're going to keep it. No one's just going to throw it at you and say, take this. They're going to say, you ever heard of this guy, Jim Rohn? They're going to turn to quote books. I remember this was the vision before I ever produced the book. But incredibly, after I launched the book, and my focus was advocates, that was another part of our secret sauce, was people loved Jim Rohn. They loved him. Mm-hmm. And so I had to empower them. So I didn't sell this for $5. I sold it for 10 for a dollar each. So you could buy 10 for $10. You could buy 100 for $60. And I literally, like I said, I've sold 6 million of them. But it came through people buying 10, 100, 1,000 at a time. A company bought 100,000, and then they gave them out. And I had my phone number in the catalog. And 70% of the time when someone would call our office, we always ask, how'd you get our number? 70% of the time, someone gave me a quote book, or I was at the doctor's office, I saw the quote book. So that's how we got them on the wheel. Then we built a relationship with them. But anyway, back to its core business. It's, your secret sauce, it's strategic. And to me, this was strategic because a spoke on a wheel, like I said, is product or service. But the third thing it can be is customer acquisition. Now, here's what's really cool is when it's both. You have a product that's actually customer acquisition. Mm-hmm. People pay you to get, you know, on the list. And then the fourth thing is it really targets your avatar of who you're trying to reach, because we can all do a lot of things. But if we're reaching the wrong group, and then it cross-pollinates. So I loved what you were sharing, Gino. And it's amazing. I can think of nothing changed with Jim's message. He went from 20 dates to 110. The only thing that changed was the strategy. And I'm thinking of someone else. I just won't go into who or what they do. But they were missing a big major piece. And the wheel solves that, because the wheel says, how do you get people on the wheel? And that's what they were missing. They had products, but they didn't really have
a
smart way to get people on the list. And they actually had a huge podcast, but they never connected the dots. They don't own the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get people from the podcast onto your list so you can talk to them. But I love the wheel, and it actually gets very sophisticated, right? The deeper you dive, if you use that litmus test of, like, I don't do one-offs. Mm-hmm. A one-off is a waste of time. It's got to be strategic with everything else I'm doing, just like you said.
So, Kyle, you twisted my arm. For everyone listening, I got to build a list. Email me Gino@JakeandGino.com. That's Gino@JakeandGino.com. And I will give you a free PDF copy of the honey wheel, of the honey bean. And I'm thinking about wheels right now. I'm thinking about spokes. I'm getting excited because he's preaching, Jake, right now. This is what we're
missing.
I like
the 99 cents, though. Can they at least pay a buck for it so we can be like him?
If you want, listen, I'll even give you a bigger offer. If you want to buy the 99 cent Kindle, go buy the 99 cent Kindle, leave us a review, and I will ship you a hard copy.
There we go.
Signed all copy. Right. So either get the PDF free, Gino@JakeandGino.com, or go buy it. So that's awesome. Jake, I want Kyle to get into the 52 lessons I learned from Jim Rome. Kyle, how do they get those lessons? I'm on lesson number 7 and they dripped really nicely. Every week or so, you get a great lesson. The first one is it takes time. We've already talked about that. But how can the listeners access those lessons?
Yeah, just go to kylewilson.com and it's right there. I don't even have a landing page for it. It's at the top of the fold, 52 lessons. And these are collaborations I had. So, you know, a lesson with Les Brown, a lesson with John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar. Ziggs is one of my favorite. I'll tell that one in a minute. Dennis Waitley is one of my favorites. Darren Hardy, multiple Jim Rohn lessons. And they're just lessons from all these legends that I got to work with, Jeffrey Gittimer, Mark Victor Hansen. And so go to kylewilson.com. And click the 52 lessons, enter your email, and you'll get the lesson every Friday. And some other cool stuff I throw in along the way as we go. My Zig lesson is one of my favorites. His was never do a good deal with a bad guy. And that has saved me millions. And it's kept me out of court. I don't sue anyone. I don't get sued, knock on wood. But a lot of that's preventative from just saying, you know, I don't really like that person. So I don't care how good it sounds. I just know it's not going to turn out good in the end. And I have made mistakes along the way, but Zig's, the wisdom of never do a good deal with a bad guy. Oh my goodness. That has saved a lot. We see it all the time, right? And we know when it's too good to be true, it's always too good to be true. And I think the mistakes I've made, it's that little knock on the door of, again, philosophically, get rich quick or something for nothing, right? And that's what happens a lot of times. So we think, oh, this is too good to turn down, but there's all these red flags over here on this other stuff that the truth is self-evident if you'll just take a look at it, right? And I think Bob Helms had shared that before, and he says it a little bit more eloquently than that. Can't remember the exact quote. But I think he said the truth presents itself in the beginning if you'll just look at it.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
But that's one of my favorite lessons from Zig and has literally probably saved me millions of dollars.
Before we get to the personal growth questions, last one for me. If I'm starting out in business right now, people have a massive advantage of what you had 30 years ago. They've got technology. They've got YouTube. They've got a flip camera. What would you advise people to starting into business? Where should they start?
Well, that's a little broad. Can you narrow it down just a little bit?
Well, I mean, in your space, let's say I want to get into the internet, digital space, education space. I want to become a speaker, motivator. Like, where would they start?
That's a great. So that one, I do have a specific answer, and it's not changed in 25 years. I tell people, go become successful at something. The world doesn't need another motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. We need people that have actually done something that, you know, and so I'm telling I released a book yesterday with a doctor who's got over 400 million in real estate. I personally coach him, Tom Burns, for his marketing. It's part of my inner circle. And Tom's still a doctor. I love that. You know, he's had Robert Plant come to his office. He's had George Strait come to his office. Gary Keller, the founder of Keller Williams, is a client of his, not in real estate, but as a doctor, right? And our biggest influence is in our day job. So I always, and Jim Rohn was the same way. He's like, make your full-time gig your full-time gig and then go create a side hustle, right? And until the side hustle just doesn't make sense anymore before you leave it. So I think a lot of people they don't realize how competitive the digital space is. We're talking millions and millions of people. And so along those lines, Gino, I'm a big proponent of social proof and to really just authentically tell your story and be yourself. So, for example, in multifamily, you know, a lot of times you'll see these generic images. Well, who can do that? Everyone. The real key is showing up as you, right? And not trying to, there are no tricks. It's just showing up as you and saying, here's who I am. Here's what I've done. Here's what a customer says. Here's my background. And that's what people buy, mm-hmm. right? And so keep building your own story first. Now, again, I've said that for 25 years, though, because how many times have people come up to me saying, I want to be the next Jim Rohn? Hundreds, mm-hmm. maybe thousands. And some I said, you could do that because of what they've done already mm-hmm. in their field, not because they were a great speaker. Don't really care about that. I want to see what people have done.
You want results. So in other words, what everyone's, Kyle is saying, everybody, we've come up with a new word, one of our coaches, it's called the Nuru. You don't want to be a guru who's new at it, right? You want to actually have results. So it's really important that you're out there with the results and building out. And Jake and I, we did that. We were the 10% entrepreneur. We had real estate as a side hustle. Eventually it crossed over into us doing it full time. And then from there, education wasn't really a monetization business in the beginning. We just loved what we were doing. We wrote a book. We didn't know. We started a podcast and just found the fun of it. And we learned. We used it as a mastermind more than anything else to be able to get on with high level individuals like yourself every week. It became a weekly rhythm for us. And we learned how to raise capital. We learned how to deal with all our vendors and learned about investing even better and business practices and the like. So I agree with your assessment 100%.
And I'm so awesome to hear that too. And that's where the money is, by the way, right?
Yes.
You know, speakers are struggling right now. For whoever thinks it's easy, you know, that just go buy Facebook ads and create an online program, it's almost painful.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing from experience here.
I don't offer it. People are selling the dream of all that. It's just such BS. It's the competition is so over the top. The only reason we think it's easy is because everyone's told us it's easy, that's selling us something. But that a good way to not make a lot of money is go try and be successful, you know, in the speaking motivation world and walk away from the multifamily world. You guys are just doing it perfectly, right? You're incorporating it in the vehicle that has incredible, you know, tax advantages, passive income, building equity. And so that's always my advice, is double down on what you're already world-class great at. And fantastic. Then, you know, and then that way you get to train people for free, by the way, right? It's like you have a tribe of people that you're getting to invest in mm-hmm. through your podcast and other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. Want to talk a little bit about habits now. Your best habit for success, something you do maybe every morning, weekly basis. We want to see what's going on. We want to know about that secret sauce.
Yeah. So I'm kind of a little bit, I'm a strange guy. I'm a little bit creative, and yet I'm also, you know, I get things done. I'm very strategic. So for me, it's I keep my eye on the ball, but I'm not religious about how I run my morning. I know some people are. I just can't pull that off. If I owned a restaurant, Gino, I'd change the menu every week. And I know I get bored pretty fast. But, yeah, I think there are some things I do every day. You know, I do gratitude. I do meditation. I read. I journal. But looking at my goals is a big part of it, too. But then I also go with the flow. It's like sometimes the other thing I really don't get on a phone call before 1 o'clock. So that's everything nice. For me is about what's on my list. And again, it's not personal. It's work. But I'm working on my stuff before I then jump onto whether it's coaching or calls or even with my team. I try not to do anything before 1 o'clock.
I love that. You're getting paid first. You're paid first. And then I love that. That's an excellent strategy.
Yeah. And I think also that the being consistent, but not having the monotony probably helps out with your creativity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I just don't think I can do the other. I'm not wired to do the other. It serves me well sometimes when I'm able to, but I'm just just not how I'm wired.
The thing with me, it
has worked out okay for me, you know.
Yeah.
The way I do it. I always say, and again, this is maybe not I don't want people trying to. I'm not comparing myself to someone when I say this. I'm just using the example. You know, if Paul McCartney was meditating and the song Yesterday came, I hope he didn't go, oh, I got to keep meditating, right? Or I got to keep reading.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I get an idea, I'm on it.
Yeah.
So that's what personal development does for me a lot of times. I don't finish books sometimes because I start reading and it just opens up a whole new vein of ideas. Well, isn't the goal then to take that and run with it? So if I'm listening to a podcast, I get an idea, I stop the podcast. You know, the dog doesn't wag the tail. Or the tail doesn't wag the dog. You know, I'm on to the idea. So I get inspired and then I just run with it no matter what I had on my list to do.
Jake, Kyle is a machine gunner like Jake and Gino, huh? He gets a bunch of priorities and he's just killing his team. He's got to get those quarterly priorities down, right? He gets all those ideas. I love that.
Well, it's funny. I can relate to what he's saying because I'm probably the opposite. I'm extremely disciplined and it's like the same day over and over again for me. And then the minute I go on a small road trip or I go to Florida to see Gino, I'm listening to something and then, oh, I got an idea. And then I'm literally pulling over, jotting it down. And like, we'll have a new podcast or like something will be coming up because the thing that I struggle with is because I'm so disciplined and so like rigid like that, the ideas don't come until I pluck myself out of that monotony. And that's why I was relating to that. But I'm sure it helps with the creativity and that's awesome.
So. Well, and I wish that could be more like you in that regard of having that discipline. It just, you know, and that's the thing. We're all finding what works for us.
Yeah.
And that's cool as we come up with things. It's like, okay, this is the way it's going to work for me best.
Mm-hmm. One thing we love talking about is scaling businesses and you've obviously been very successful. Any tips or tricks that you can share with the audience that, you know, you've found when you've been scaling businesses that you can share with folks?
Well, I do believe you can grow too fast. I've seen probably the biggest challenge is companies implode because they grew too fast because they didn't have the team in place, right? Because, you know, once you have customers, so a lot of people, they're hitting it and they're loving on everyone and they're on social media because they don't have any customers. The minute you have customers, it's just like, you know, then that takes effort. It's just like syndication. I remember a guy telling me once he was going to try and do, it was just a crazy amount of deals, you know, like a syndication, 3 syndications a week. Well, how many are you doing now? He's never done one. I'm like, well, you know, your bandwidth is going to change. The minute you have a syndication, now you're answering phone calls you weren't answering before, right? Mm-hmm. And so, so as far as scaling, I'm a bit conservative because I have grown too fast before. I've gotten to 20 people really fast and I didn't have the right team. When I sold my companies, I knew the biggest thing I was selling was not the million plus list, wasn't the 300 intellectual properties. It was the team. It took me a long time to build that I had. You got to go through 20 to get one sometimes or 100 or 5 years. there's some deals I haven't done before because I don't have the team. I'm about to launch something right now I've sat on for 4 years because I didn't have the right partners on it, right? So I think as far as scaling, you just want to keep that foundation in place because there's just a lot of risk. But this is coming from a guy that has sold a company before. And, you know, at one time I didn't worry about any of that, right? Just build. On the other side of it now, I'm very deliberate, right?
So Mr. Really, Six Children is going to talk about raising kids here. I know.
No. Well, no, I was going to say revenue is vanity, profit margin, sanity, and cash is king. I think you really have to worry about that because everyone asks us, how many units are you going to get? I'm more worried about how many units my students are going to get now because, like you said, the bandwidth to do one reposition on a multifamily, that might be, we do everything in-house, so we can get 100 unit property. Is it a heavy lift? Well, then that we can do one or two of those max a year and not go out and try to get 1,000 units or 2,000 units. So focusing on really quality deals and quality in-house that we can handle really makes a difference because we can avoid a lot of mistakes by following your advice.
And just to hone back in, so if I had to narrow it down, it's your team. You're going to sell, you got to have a team, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got to take care of the customer. You got to duplicate yourself. And Paul J. Meyer, I don't know if y'all have ever heard that name, but he, incredible mentor of mine. He had started, he's really one of the early guys in personal development. And you'd mentioned Napoleon Hill before we jumped on the call, Gino, and Paul had bought the whole Napoleon Hill collection. He was the founder of SMI, Success Motivation Institute, but he had 40, 50 companies. And he said, Kyle, and it's one of my 52 lessons, by the way, he said, you got to learn to, inspect what you expect. And he said, most people, most managers, owners, they relegate. And he said, never relegate. He said, even delegating's not the right word. He said, you got to mentor. So you mentor and you train. And that's how you have 50, you know, companies like he had. Mm-hmm. But he said, most people just relegate. They get mentoring confused with just offload it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do kind of take that slow growth approach because slow growth is fast growth at the end of the day. If you do it right, over time, it's going to compound. And that's the other thing, you know, going back to the wheel, everything I do, I want it to have a compounding effect. So people can go buy Bitcoin, right? So someone's like, oh, you can buy Bitcoin or you can trade the stock market. Does that compound? No. Does multifamily compound? Yes. Right. So it's like investing compounds. Buying, you know, trading stocks or flipping houses. Not that that's not all good. It's just not it's not something that's going to compound over time.
Well, Kyle, are you a closet multifamily owner? Are you invested in some deals? I'm starting to, I think he's drinking the Kool-Aid here, you know?
I do have a lot of people in my world that are in the world that I work with on a lot of levels. And yeah, I'm definitely all about investing, especially before the end of the year, right? Everyone needs to get some tax advantages. If you're paying too much tax, get a hold of these guys because I'm almost tempted to flip it, right? The tax benefits of multifamily are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any book recommendations? I know you have thrown a ton out there, but is there one that you love recommending to folks?
It's a good question. You know, my good friend, Mark Victor Hansen, his new book is out called Ask. And again, it's a bit not metaphysical, but again, it's that mindset of you got to ask for what you want. The Success Habits book, you know, that Gino pitched, it's gold. It's got Les Brown, Mark Victor Hansen, Phil Collins, John Assaraf, Darren Hardy. It's the only interview that Darren Hardy's given in 4 years. If people don't know Darren, he's really big now. And just, yes, there's so much wisdom. And I always say the value of an interview, and these are just condensed interviews that they got to go through, is wisdom. Wisdom is what comes through interviews. You hear a lot of pitches, right? And you go hear a speaker speak on stage. A lot of times they're just doing the same talk every time. But if you can interview someone like you guys do for your podcast, and you ask questions they're not expecting, then hopefully it's the tip of the iceberg of what they know, and there's distilled wisdom. And I felt like that's what we had with the book, because it's just taking interviews and trying to pull the very best of the best out. But I am trying to answer your question honestly. Jake, yeah, I think I obviously Think and Grow Rich changed my life. The Magic of Thinking Big, some of those classics, Jim Rohn's The Five Major Pieces, The Seasons of Life were invaluable. Gary Keller's The One Thing, I think that's a powerful book.
Still haven't got to that one yet.
Can I flip it and say, like, what's your top two or three at the moment?
So my number one book of all time, everyone knows this, is definitely Atlas Shrugged. That book just, you know, lit my ass on fire and really, you know, it changed my life quite a bit. I love autobiographies as well. So really love Steve Jobs' book. I liked Arnold's. I don't know if you ever got to read Arnold's book, but man, that dude was, he was like, I don't care what it's going to take, I'm going to get it done kind of mentality. So I love the run through a brick wall type mentality that, that he shared. But yeah, those are some of my faves. Little book out there called Wheelbarrow Profits. Yeah, just messing around. So that was our first book. So just messing. But
love it.
Yeah, those are some of the ones. You know, and also I got a text from, you mentioned Jeffrey Gittimer. I got a text from him earlier today. His book was one of the first personal development books I ever read, The Little Red Book of Selling. And he had a reading list in there. And I started going through that. And Atlas Shrugged was on there. And that's where I picked up some of the books as well. So
Jeffrey and I go way back. It was 1993. It was an event in Charlotte. And he invited me to his house, and he had over 100 old editions, original editions, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old and older of sales books. And we became really good friends. And Gino, I know you mentioned Zig. I did a 3-day event in 2001 in Dallas. It was a Jim Rohn 2-day, and I had Jeffrey Gittimer, I had Zig Ziglar, Bob Berg, and several others. And, yeah, Jeffrey's a good friend. He showed up for my Philly inner circle. We do them in Philly, Dallas, and LA. And so many great one-liners from Jeffrey.
Yeah.
One of his on social proof is, if I say it, I'm bragging. If you say it, it's proof, right? And so, you know, we on our websites, we got to have social proof and of what other people say, things like that. Loves Gittimer. And by the way, Atlas Shrugged, I've probably got 10 copies of that book. And one guy, you might not know him, his name's Eric Worre. He's pretty big in his industry. But in 92 or 3, he sent me a leather-bound collection of like 10 works of Ayn Rand.
Oh, that's awesome.
So every time I show that, every time I mention it, guess what? I say Eric Worre. So we say giving books is a great idea. So I send out 2 or 3 signed books every day to people because I'm just encouraging people, if there's a book you like, you know, let's say some of the books you mentioned, or if it's The Miracle Morning, whatever's changed your life. If it's a book that you guys have done and your audience buys 10 and gives them away, first of all, no one's going to throw them away. They're going to thank you. You're going to write a handwritten note. But also, how about if someone actually takes them up on getting into multifamily and it changes their life, you know, for $10 or for $15, you potentially can change someone's life with a book. So I'm a big believer in books.
Shoe Dog was awesome as well. I don't know if you guys read that one.
I never read that. No.
Phil Knight, Nike story.
Yeah, oh, wow. Okay.
That was badass. That was a great one. So, all right, well, let's wrap this up. Tell us how you mentioned the book, where can folks get that? And also how can folks get a hold of you and your company?
Yeah. So the Success Habits of Super Achievers book, they can go to Amazon and Google it, or they can go to my website, kylewilson.com/books. And I've got a bunch of other books, like here's Don't Quit. And this has Robert Alt, the founder of LA Music, a billion-dollar company that signed Taylor Swift when she was 13, and Beyonce. He's up in Canada, amazing guy. And Lisa Haysha, who her and her husband, the creator of The Big Bang Theory and 2.5 Men. Do you guys know Mauricio Rowell?
I've seen him out. He's a syndication attorney, correct?
Yeah. He's phenomenal. Really good friend, 10-year friend. So we have all the books at kylewilson.com/books. And if you buy them in multiples, they're massively discounted and free shipping, or they can go to Amazon. And kylewilson.com's got my got my 52 lessons for free. And if they have a question, they can email me at info@kylewilson.com. And I'll do my best to answer.
So, so Gino here, you want to give us a little recap here or what? You got so this?
I'll see if I can put it all together, because we're talking about a long time frame here and a lot of businesses, a lot of different companies jumping around. We have a 19-year-old Kyle Wilson in Vernon, Texas, who's got a little shop, decides to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to move to Dallas, going to spend some money on the seminar. And he's probably thinking to himself, do I need to spend money on the seminar or do I need to make money before I go to the seminar? You can't do both, right? So I think he got to go to the seminar to learn how to make the money. And that fortuitous event, he ends up meeting Jim Rome. He ends up collaborating with Jim and says to Jim, you know what? You're doing what? I forgot what it was, 20 events a year at $4,000 a pop. How about I get you 100 events in a year? I think it was $10,000 a pop, whatever that
is. He got him up to 25, I think, right?
I mean, yeah, he just 20x'd it, right? And the whole idea was just give value. I think that's what Kyle's, I think, idea throughout his whole life was. He was desperate. From that desperation,
full responsibility too,
came on to responsibility and being surrounded. We didn't talk about Jim's mantra of being surrounded by the top five people in your circle. What does that look like? But I think Kyle embodied that by talking about all his mentors that he had all throughout his journey. 2007, he decides to sell the company. He stays at home as a stay-at-home mom. Dad, and he says to himself, you know what? This is great. I've got to get back into the game. And he's just been back out launching tons and tons of books and adding a tremendous amount of value. And for me, this was a coaching call. It's a coaching lesson. So I want everyone to just go back and listen to this, because there's so many golden nuggets in here. And if you're really trying to scale a business or add another spoke or add another product or try to create value for somebody, there's so many different tips in this podcast that you should really listen to.
And it is so aligned with our values too. He talked about taking the long view, taking full responsibility, and choosing the right vehicle. So those resonated so hard. Really, really appreciate your time today, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle. Hey,
my honor. You guys are awesome. I love your philosophy. I love the wheel you're doing. And the spokes, that's, you know, hey, these God downloads, right? It's awesome.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.